good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, August the 16th, 2016. 8-16-16. 12:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program. I'm Scott Spears, and over the next 2 hours, you will not want to leave your radio dial because we are going to be talking about a lot of things that are very important to the world as you know it, and also giving away some very interesting prizes over the next 2 hours. Do want to let you know what's going on next hour before we get to the guest this hour, a very interesting guest this hour. Coming up next hour at 1:15, we're going to be joined by Olympic gold medalist Michelle Kwan, who is circling the Buckeye State. We're going to catch up with her at 1:15 today. And at 1:45, we're going to be joined by Dan Benjamin, coordinator for counterterrorism under Secretary Hillary Clinton, former fellow at the Brookings Institute and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Also, today is the 39th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley, and we are going to have our correspondent John Daly, who is at Graceland today at 1:30. Talking about the festivities there. This hour, we're going to give away some backpacks, but before we do that for back to school, we're joined by a very interesting gentleman. He is a former ambassador for the United States of America, Republican Richard Blackwell. Mr. Blackwell, Ambassador Blackwell, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's Robert, by the way.
Robert. Oh, did I say Richard?
Yes.
I apologize for that.
No, it's fine.
I must have had it written down here on the paper wrong. Ambassador, we wanted to have you on the show today because there's an interesting group out there, Republicans and Independents for Hillary Clinton. You are a member of this group. How did this happen?
Well, I'm a lifelong Republican. I served proudly in Ronald Reagan's administration, in both the Bush administrations. I was in the White House for George H.W. Bush, in the White House again for George W. Bush. So I'm a proud, tried and true Republican. But Hillary Clinton is not running against Dwight Eisenhower or Ronald Reagan or either of the presidents Bush. She's running against Donald Trump, who is utterly, in my judgment, unfit to be president. So I, with that view, contacted the Clinton campaign and said that I would like to help her win the presidency. Not because I think she's perfect, but because this is a choice between two people, and she's immeasurably better than Donald Trump, who I believe would be dangerous for our country if he were ever in the Oval Office.
We keep hearing that. We do have a Congress, we do have a Senate, we do have a Supreme Court. How could Donald Trump be dangerous?
Well, let me first say that I've, as I said, worked in the White House three times, so I have, I think, a good view of the powers of the Oval Office and the American presidency. And in our system, the American president is enormously powerful, especially in a crisis, because in a crisis, the president does not have to get U.S. congressional approval to act. He certainly doesn't have to get the approval of the Supreme Court to act, even though we have a division of powers in our Constitution. But beyond that, what he said is perhaps indicative of why he would be dangerous, and I'll just be brief. He said that NATO has outlived its purposes. NATO, which has been supported by every president from either party since the late 1940s, he said that it's fine with him if Japan or South Korea or Saudi Arabia get nuclear weapons. You can imagine what our friends in Israel would think about Saudi Arabia getting nuclear weapons. He said that he wouldn't necessarily defend the Baltic states from a Russian invasion, even though we are obligated to do so through the NATO treaty and so forth. So in that respect, with those policies, if he carried them out in the White House, he would rupture America's relations with our closest friends and allies. Finally, he has only compliments for Vladimir Putin, the dictator of Russia, as he constantly criticizes our closest friends and allies. So this is a man who I think, if he were in the Oval Office, in the U.S. presidency, with respect to his policies, they would depart from every Republican president since Eisenhower, fundamentally. But perhaps that's not surprising, because Donald Trump has spent most of his life as a Democrat.
Now, Ambassador Blackwell, this is a question I get a lot here on the air from the callers when we open up the phone lines. A lot of Republicans agree with you to the fact that they will not vote for Donald Trump. But we keep hearing this lesser of two evils. They might vote for Gary Johnson. They might vote for Jill Stein. They might not vote at all, but they are not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Why have you decided to not opt out of voting or vote for one of the independent candidates and vote for Hillary Clinton?
Well, because none of those others is going to be president of the United States. And let me say, I respect those who come to that view. This is a solemn obligation by Americans to vote in our elections, and I don't think standing aside, especially in this election, is what I would recommend, but this is an individual choice. But again, let me just say that in the end, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be president. It isn't going to be any of the others. And I'd like to say now just a word about his character. I spoke earlier about his policies, but perhaps even more fundamental is his character. And this is a man who lies not because of it's in his interest, but because it's in his character. Just yesterday, he gave a speech, as you know, on how the United States should confront ISIS. And it was filled with lies about his position. He said he had opposed the war in Iraq. He did not. As video evidence shows, he supported the war in Iraq. He says he was against the NATO intervention in Libya. Not true. Evidence shows he was for the NATO intervention in Libya and the overthrow of Gaddafi. He says he was against Mubarak being overthrown. Again, not true. Video evidence. He supported the overthrow of Mubarak in Egypt and so forth. He can virtually not utter a sentence which is true. And I have to say, I'm a Kansan, so I'm a Midwesterner like you and your listeners, and I come from a farm family out in western Kansas, and my family taught me that what made a man or a woman's character was, were they truthful? Did they have integrity? Did they have generosity for those less fortunate than them? And Donald Trump has none of those qualities. So I think he's disqualified himself both on policy grounds and on character grounds.
One of the things you brought up there was the war in Iraq, because this has been brought up a lot on the Democratic side and the Republican side, that Hillary Clinton also voted for the war in Iraq. Donald Trump has kind of gone both ways on it. You worked for President George W. Bush when the war in Iraq was going on. And forgive me for this, but he said there were weapons of mass destruction. We have found that not to be true. Was he dishonest as well?
No, and let me say, I did work in that administration during that period, and President Bush, in my judgment, made a serious mistake. He believed, because of the American intelligence community told him so, that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. but so did the Russian intelligence service and the Israeli intelligence service and the British, German, and French intelligence services. They all thought that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So President Bush ordered the invasion. Now we know there were no such weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and I believe it was a very serious mistake by President Bush. It was made in good faith, but history doesn't reward those who made mistakes in good faith. So he didn't try to deceive the American people. He genuinely believed it because every major intelligence service in the world was telling him that there were weapons there. There weren't.
When it comes to Hillary Clinton, a lot of people talk about character as well. There seems to be new leaks every week regarding her emails and using a private server. The head of the FBI, Mr. Comey, called her extremely careless. Has she, in your opinion, lied? And does she have character issues?
Well, she certainly has character issues. I'm not sure whether she's lied or whether she just didn't realize during this period that what she was saying wasn't true in every single case. But let me say very directly, when I was in the White House, if I had done what she did, then I would have been severely punished. There's no doubt about it. But again, I emphasize, even with that, I don't believe that she would be a dangerous president, and I believe Donald Trump would be a dangerous president. I supported a variety of Republican candidates in the primaries, and of course, Donald Trump became the Republican nominee. But he does not represent the view of the Republican Party in the Congress. He does not represent the views of the Republican president since Eisenhower. And so since we have a binary choice, a choice between either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton.
Would the people you supported in the Republican primaries and the Republican president you worked for feel the same way, do you think?
Well, I think it comes down to a personal choice. We have, if you look at the list of very distinguished Americans who have endorsed Hillary Clinton, including my old boss, Brent Scowcroft, National Security Advisor, for both Gerry Ford and for George H.W. Bush, and so forth, Meg Whitman, and so forth. There are a variety of distinguished Republicans who support Hillary Clinton. It's an individual choice, and I respect those who make a different one, but I think the evidence is overwhelming that Donald Trump has disqualified himself for the American presidency. And one point that perhaps I'm particularly sensitive to, having worked in the White House three times, is the nuclear issue. The American president does not have to have the approval of the Congress or the Supreme Court to release American nuclear weapons. I can't imagine a more frightening, given his character, a more frightening thought than Donald Trump having the nuclear codes. No thank you.
Ambassador Blackwell, you are still a Republican. I assume you will be a Republican after this election.
Absolutely.
That being said, what do you make of the high-ranking Republicans, who I assume you do support, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, John McCain, and Jeb Bush's son, who have all endorsed Donald Trump?
Well, let me say, Hillary Clinton will be the first Democrat for whom I have voted for President of the United States, and I'm confident she'll be the last. So I am a Republican through and through. I'm a great admirer of the Speaker of the House and of John McCain, but they have to make their own decisions, and I'm not in their situation. They're not in mine, so I'm not going to criticize them. But what I can say on the basis of much reflection on my part and looking at the facts of the case, that there's no doubt in my mind that Hillary Clinton should be the next U.S. president. They can make their own decisions, and I'm certainly not going to criticize them.
Do you agree with anything Hillary Clinton believes in, policy-wise?
Well, yes, because I think if you look at her record as Secretary of State and as Senator, so I'll start rattling off, she's a strong supporter of Israel, as am I. She's a strong supporter of NATO, as am I. She's a strong supporter of our alliance system in Asia, our alliance with Japan, our alliance with South Korea, our alliance with Australia, our alliance with the Philippines, as am I. I think that she's against non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, unlike Donald Trump, as am I. There are a variety of just fundamental policies. Everything I've mentioned just now has been supported by every American president since Eisenhower and by the candidates for the presidency from both parties since Eisenhower until Donald Trump.
That being said, if you do help Hillary Clinton become president, in 4 years, is there any chance, unless the candidate's Donald Trump again, that you would vote for Hillary again?
Well, 4 years from now, I don't know, but I'm just saying I will vote for her this time. I'll urge others to vote, to think about voting for her and come to their own choices, but I will have to see in 4 years. Maybe she'll be a spectacular American president, and in 4 years I'll be so impressed that I would vote for her again. But I voted for Republican presidential candidates all my life, and I assume I'll vote for them the rest of my life after this election.
Does this play into Donald Trump's hand? Because Donald Trump's hand is, I'm an outsider, and all of the insiders want special interest, and they're dealing together, and it's all under the table dealings, and I'm an outsider. So when a Republican, a longtime Republican, comes out against him, do you think it matters to him? And more importantly, does it matter to his voters, who are Republicans?
Well, I don't know, and the folks who will be calling in and interacting with you will have a better view of that than I do, because they're living it, thinking about it. But my own judgment is that the American people are wise. They listen very much to what the two candidates say, and they'll come to their own conclusions. And I think if they come to the conclusion, as I have, that Donald Trump is dangerous for our country, I don't think the fact that Republicans have endorsed Hillary Clinton is going to make any difference. I think they'll come to their own deliberations and, on the whole, make wise choices. That's what our system entails, and I have great confidence in our system. So I'm not worried about that. I do think that all of us, and I know this is true of the folks who are listening in, realize the importance of this election. And I just felt that it was incumbent upon me to speak out, since I'm so worried on the basis of my own experience at the White House. I'm so worried about the prospect of a Trump presidency that I felt I had to speak out.
Just want to get a quick question in here, because the sentiment seems to be, when we do talk to those callers out there, that once again, they're not necessarily voting for Trump because they feel a lot of the same way that you feel, but that Benghazi keeps coming up, the emails keep coming up, and that's why there's no way they can vote for Hillary, that she is dishonest, she's a liar, not my words, their words. What would you say to those people?
Well, as I say, they have to decide themselves, and it's a solemn moment when you go into the voting booth and decide who you think should be the next president. But I return to my fundamental point. Certainly Hillary Clinton has flaws. You've mentioned some of them. There are others. But in the end, the person on the afternoon of January 20th next year who goes into the Oval Office and takes on the responsibilities, the constitutional responsibilities of the American presidency is going to be either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And the idea that it might be Donald Trump scares the hell out of me.
If and final question here, if because you are a lifelong Republican, is there any chance you could be wrong about Donald Trump?
Well, we see the evidence. I'm not basing my view on guessing. I'm basing my view on what he has said. And how else do you make a judgment about a fellow human being?
Do you base any opinions on the things Hillary Clinton has said that sometimes are not exactly the truth?
Of course, and as I said before, I think she has flaws, serious flaws, but compared to Donald Trump, I don't think she would be dangerous as American as the American president, and I would trust her with the nuclear codes. I certainly would not want to trust Donald Trump with the future of American nuclear weapons.
Do you? I know I said there was a final question, but I got to slip one in. Do you think there's a tie, since you brought up Vladimir Putin, between Donald Trump and Russia?
Well, all I can say is that, including in yesterday's speech, he has only positive things to say about Vladimir Putin, the dictator of Russia, while at the same time he has only criticism of our closest friends and allies. You draw your own conclusion.
Former Ambassador Robert Blackwell, a part of a group, Republicans and Independents for Hillary Clinton. Thank you so much, Ambassador.
Thank you very much for having me. All the best.
Bye-bye. Well, that's a very interesting conversation to have. Very, very interesting. Do you have any opinions on what Ambassador Blackwell said? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remember, the group is Republicans and Independents for Hillary. Brought up a lot of interesting points. 740-383-9944 if you have any opinions on that. Now, we do have Michelle Kwan in the next hour at 1:15, Olympic gold medalist, and we have Dan Benjamin, coordinator for counterterrorism for Secretary Hillary Clinton, former fellow at Brookings Institute and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. That coming up at 1:45 today. You're not going to want to miss that. And John Daly, correspondent live from Graceland today at 1:30, 39th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley, which is today. Now, your opinion, 740-383-9944. Give me a call and we will put you up on the air. Do want to clear something up from yesterday. We got into a bit of a heated conversation about Donald Trump, Second Amendment comments, and Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm going to play the clip one more time and then explain to you how we got to where we got yesterday, and maybe some of what was being said by everybody got lost in the conversation yesterday, which was a very good one. But here's Donald Trump talking about Hillary Clinton and the Second Amendment at a rally last week.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
now, that was the quote that got everybody stirred up yesterday and sparked a very interesting conversation. Now, what I want to say on my behalf as far as that quote goes is this. Do I believe that Donald Trump wants Second Amendment people to kill Hillary Clinton? Of course not. Did Donald Trump in that quote say he wanted Hillary Clinton killed? No. Do I think Second Amendment people want to kill Hillary Clinton? No. I don't think any of that, and that wasn't the point that I was trying to make yesterday, which maybe got lost in the redux. What I think is that the polls say that 63% of people believe that that's what he was insinuating. Did he say it right out? No. But what he was insinuating was that there is a way to take her out, because he started off by saying, nothing you can do. Well, what is the something you can do? And the insinuation by 63% of the country was that the Second Amendment people could take her out in a very unkind way, I guess we should say. Now, here's the problem with that. If 63% of the country believes that, and the two people, well, you know what, we're going to take the call, then we'll come back to this. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Scott. It's me again.
Hey, good to hear from you.
How are you doing today?
Doing very well.
I liked your interview with the fellow that worked for the Bushes.
Good. I'm glad. Now, did you think it was fair and balanced?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I did.
Good.
He brought out a point I've emphasized, and you guys have sort of blown off, was that Bush didn't know that there were no weapons. He believed there were.
Well, that, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you. The ambassador says that, and I guess that'll be left up for opinion for years to come. But he did know there were no ties to Al-Qaeda. I guess he had no proof is the problem.
Right.
Right. And I think that's the main issue. Do I think that President Bush is an evil man? No. Do I think that he marched people in there just to be evil? No. But I don't think that he did have all... I don't think he had any evidence.
Well, it sounds like there were a lot of other leaders that had the same bad information.
Oh, they absolutely did, but none of them marched in except Canada with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. If everybody else disbelieved it, why didn't they march in?
I have no idea.
And I think that's the problem, and I think... The problem is, it's also a very interesting thing about the Iraq War. It's the, and to rehash, this is interesting, but it's the only time in the history of the United States that we have ever attacked a country that didn't attack us. There was never a war, fought. They didn't ask for our help. We've helped other people who have asked, our allies, but Iraq was certainly not an ally. They didn't ask for our help, and they did not attack us.
No.
So the fact that we went in there, and also the fact that Hans Blix, who was the number one inspector, did say, I think he has them, but I've never found them. That, to me, would have been a green light that he might not have them.
Yeah, but Blix was considered the expert in the thing, you know?
Right.
And when he says, I think they probably have them, I would believe him.
Yeah, I would. You know, I think most people did believe that Saddam Hussein had them, but I think with the intelligence that we as citizens don't get to see, I would have thought that the president, because that's not what they said. The line was, you can't wait for a mushroom cloud. That's not an exact quote, but that's what they went on all the shows and said. They basically said, you know, this is going to happen. If you don't do something about it, he's going to do this. But that wasn't the truth. That was the lie. Hmm. Do I think President Bush thought that they had him? Yes, I do think he thought that they had him. But the statements he was making and the rhetoric that he used to get us into the war, he knew that wasn't true. He knew that for sure. I mean, do you remember the term slam dunk? Slam dunk. It wasn't a slam dunk. And I think that's where President Bush gets folded on that. And that's just my opinion, but I think that's why people consider him to be dishonest in that. Now, interestingly, though, we can compare that to Hillary Clinton, who this ambassador now supports, and say, did she know at the time that her emails were classified? She says no. Did she know that was going to happen at Benghazi? She says no. So can we forgive her retroactively as well to say at the time she didn't believe those things were going to happen?
I don't know. I'm still really fighting with that. You know, in reference to what Trump said, to me he could have meant four possible things. One is go kill Hillary. Point two might be go kill the Supreme Court people. Three, start the revolution. Or four, vote for me.
Well, here's the thing.
You know, if you vote for him and he's in, then in his a small little head. You know, that's a legitimate thing.
Like
now, what I don't like is I've never heard you fellows, and again, I'm not speaking as a Trump lover, absolutely not, but I think you guys need to give him the same thing. I know the statement was made yesterday, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. Trump deserves the same break.
I think that's true. But here's what I think, and this is a good conversation to have, because maybe I didn't say this eloquently enough yesterday when it comes to that comment. And I don't know if you listened to the rest of the program. There was only about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, sure.
But the gentleman who you thought had said that, the first caller, who said, who was not pro-Hillary either, was not pro-Trump but was not pro-Hillary, called back in and he said, yes, I can see that how that he's implying that I can read. So if he believes it and he doesn't like Hillary, Terry got that out of it. I got that out of it. 63% of the country did. Now, am I saying everybody did? No. But even in your four explanations for it, one of them was go kill Hillary. Now, here's the problem. If anybody believed it, that's what's scary. Because there are nutty people out there. And to come from a man who's getting the press coverage that he's getting, something had to be done to shut that down so no presidential candidate would ever say anything like that again. And certainly he's going to be around for another 90 days, whether win, lose, or draw, that he should never make implications like that again. Because if anybody believed it...
He should make clear what he's... you're saying.
He should have
finished his sentence, and if it was to finish up with go shoot Hillary, then absolutely shut the guy down.
But the problem was...
But he does deserve the...
Oh, he deserves the benefit of the doubt, but I think the problem was what he said was... Because he was talking after the election. I don't know if he got mixed up because he was off the teleprompter. And like I say, I don't believe Trump wants Hillary killed. I don't believe the NRA people are going to go kill Hillary. I don't believe any of that. But what I believe is that he got mixed up in his words, because the statement prior to that statement is what really got him in trouble. Because he said, if she gets in, folks, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. Well, I don't know. Maybe you Second Amendment people can do something. Well, if she's already in and there's nothing you can do, that means that she's made her appointments. That means Donald Trump has lost the election, so he's not asking for their support at that point. And I don't think he was insinuating to shoot a Supreme Court justice, because he's talking about if she gets in, there's nothing you can do, folks. Mm-hmm. That's where it became an implication that there is something you can do, and that would be to get rid of Hillary before...
Or have a revolution.
That very well...
He could have even been aiming at that. Who knows with that guy?
That's exactly right. But I do think on this station, and I truly believe, and I think the last interview was an example of this, he's a Republican ambassador, he's never voted Democrat in his life, he served with Reagan and Bush, and I think I tried to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt in that interview when he would bash Donald Trump. I said, what if you're wrong? What if... I think we're fair to Donald Trump on this station.
I don't think you're as fair to him as you are to Hillary, though.
Well,
I really don't. Like I say, you apologize for Hillary and say, well, maybe she was thinking this and that, but I haven't heard that same thing with Trump. And again, I detest the idea that I'm defending Trump. You know, that one just makes my blood boil to do so. But I think, in the effort to treat it fairly, that we need to realize that there are times when we should say, "Donald, you weren't as bad as we thought." I doubt if I'll ever say that with a straight face. But
well, do you remember the issue with being a racist? I think I know I defended him many times about... I said, I don't think he's a racist.
I could never understand that.
Now see, I give him the benefit of the doubt, and I do try to give these people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. The issue is, I think I apologized for him in that one. And I think I've apologized for him in this one. I'm saying I think he was off the teleprompter. I don't think he meant to say go kill Hillary. I don't think he understands what he meant to imply. So I think I am letting Donald Trump off the hook, and I am letting Donald Trump off the hook for being a racist, and I am, because I don't think he is, and I am letting him off the hook for a lot of things. The problem,
yeah, but the reasoning I didn't get was that what proves he's not a racist is he's from New York.
Well, not just
What about your dancing cop there? He's from the New York area.
Right. But I don't think he's a racist either.
I think he didn't like Black Lives Matter.
No, he didn't like Black Lives
Matter. Which does not make him a racist.
No, I don't think we should make him a racist. Mm-hmm. But I don't... the reasoning behind Trump not being a racist mostly is that when you live in the most diverse city on planet Earth, mm-hmm. And being a businessman... And the dealings you have to have in that city over the last 40 years. If he was racist, what I believe is I believe somebody would have called him on that already. I don't think that would have come about in 2016. I believe that would have come around in 1986. You know, Donald Trump hasn't exactly been a shrinking violet living in the most populated city on the face of the earth with the most diverse population, and I've never heard him called a racist until this presidential election. I don't think he could have kept it that well concealed.
Well, he's made it obvious he doesn't like a lot of people.
Yeah, but he doesn't...
sex of people, maybe not individuals, but he doesn't like different types. What do you think of his... statement now about who he thinks should be let in.
About the that people have to go through a litmus test?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, it's awful interesting because we have had litmus tests before. This is not the first time somebody has said this. But I'm still trying to figure out why this is trouble. I'm really confused right now because, you know, it's hard to... Okay, I'll give you a good example that has nothing to do with Trump or Hillary directly. Rudy Giuliani, yesterday, a man I have immense respect for at what he did during 9/11.
I used to.
Well, I did. I still do. What he did during 9/11 was Churchill-esque.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I can't forget that. So that being said, when he goes up yesterday and says there hasn't been a terrorist... Now, I want to get the exact quote because I was going to talk about this today. So let me get the exact quote here so I don't mislead the audience in exactly what he said. But he said yesterday, he said... he claimed Monday that there had not been, and this is his quote, any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States in the 8 years before President Barack Obama took office.
Good.
Now,
he's drinking too much something.
Well, I mean, but how do you defend that? Now, can you say, because what they said today when the people said, oh my goodness, what's he saying? Now, what they said was he meant after September 11th and before President Obama.
That wasn't what he said, though.
That wasn't what he said. So, but
you
this
have to be careful when you're in politics.
Right, and this is the rest of his quote, just for those people interested. He said, under those 8 years before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started when Clinton and Obama got into office. Now, that's the man who was there.
I've lost a lot of respect for him. Well, my daughter, she, from day one, for years, they wanted him to be president, but
a lot of people did.
I know, but boy, he's dropped.
But now, see, now that's interesting because do you defend that as a news person? Do you get on the radio and try to defend that comment and say, well, he just got off topic, he didn't say what he meant? And that's kind of like Trump's comment. Mm-hmm. I don't think Trump meant to imply that people should kill Hillary. But it came off that way to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Giuliani has forgotten September 11th.
I would certainly hope not.
But I think he made a comment that he didn't really understand or he spoke wrong. He misspoke.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. And I guess that if you would have listened, and I wish we had some of those tapes, back when Mitt Romney ran against Obama, I mean, I think anybody who listened would have said we covered that pretty even keel. This is so strange, though, this election, because you can't ignore things like that, like the former mayor of New York during September 11th saying that. But if you bring it up, then you are, you know, pro-Hillary. Which I don't think you are. I think you're just reporting the news.
Well, I would hope so. But again, I you know, if you give Hillary breaks, there will be times when you have to give bad guys breaks, too.
Well, I do, like I say, I don't think he's a racist. And I don't think he meant to say what he said about Hillary killing her. But I think he implied it inadvertently. And I think, you know what the truth is? I went to that Republican convention, and I do think Donald Trump is a good guy. I mean, I really think, I think he's in a place that he shouldn't be in. Not everybody's fit for every job.
That's right.
But I think, I don't think he's an evil man. I think he's created a lot of jobs for people. But did you hear what when Hugh Downs was on, did you hear that Barry Goldwater interview from 93?
Yeah.
I thought that was prophetic, where Goldwater said to Hugh Downs back in 93, he said, First time I ran as I'm a businessman, elect me. And I got elected, and I found out a businessman does not know much about politics.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
It's being proven this year.
It is. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Hey, I want to give someone else a chance.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you think of the interview with Republican Ambassador Robert Blackwell, now supporting Hillary Clinton? Now, next hour, don't forget, we've got Olympic gold medalist Michelle Kwan at 1:15. We are going to go to Graceland Live on the 39th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley at 1:30. And then we've got, this is a big interview, Dan Benjamin, coordinator for counterterrorism under Secretary Hillary Clinton, former fellow at Brookings Institute and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. That's 1:45. You're not going to want to miss that. And you on the toll-free line. So don't you go anywhere. Back in about 15 minutes. Take care. You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary show host, actor,